everyone. You've tuned in to Radiance by Design. That's what you are and I am. But sometimes our design is very unconscious, isn't it? We're radiating our thoughts and feelings. And actually, we're radiating confinements. We're radiating our fears. We're radiating our jealousies. We're radiating our smoldering angers. And how many of you are experiencing the shift? I'm finding it more and more. We have a delayed voice here. Bob's listening on his phone to make sure that we're on the air, and I can hear my voice echoing my voice. It's really funny. Isn't this an amazing time? Anyway, I want to talk about the shift a little bit because, you know, we're kind of steering our shift ship, in through the white waves of change. How many of you are noticing that? And everything I've learned says it's so fascinating during these times where we're discovering more and more about how we've been controlled and our reality has been contrived by large self-reproducing systems that want to contain and factor in their power over people for thousands of years. And we're finally, to me, the shift is about being able to raise our heads and shake off the dust and realize that, oh, we've been confined. We're actually amazing beings. And what does it mean to be an amazing being? Well, I don't know. I've been doing these shows, Paradigm Shifters, for a number of years now, 5 years, and also I've been an intuitive for a number of years, say 30 years. And always, always, always in my personal drive to know why, to understand what is love, what is expansion, what is truth, what is spiritual honesty, and so on and so forth. I just keep seeing over and over again all these people and all these ways of unraveling from confinements that came from beliefs and concepts that have been kind of draped over us or taught to us, each of them being induced by some kind of fear. Ultimately, and I think I talked about this last week a little bit, Dr. Julia Sant, who wrote a book on death called The Last Frontier, is a very, very interesting woman, an intuitive, and an ancient scholar. And she finally said, isn't it interesting in all the deceptions that have been perpetrated upon us over the last thousands of years that have kept us feeling, more secure, more safe, are reacting against fears like the fear of death. And in that, we've all been kind of corralled and confined. And I've noticed lately, as we talk about this shift, which some people think of as the end of the world, and I think of it as the end of those confinements, of being trapped in the jail of beliefs, if you will, or control by other beings so that we won't know how powerful we are. You know, so interesting. And if you look around, you know, I often liken it to from the biblical times when they talk about the book of Revelations. Oh my God, everything was going to be terrible. But I sort of look around and I go, the book of Revelations is just all about a period in time where things are revealed to us. We get to feel, hear, and know all of these ways in which we've been confined, and it's been deceptive. It's not truth. It's one of the things I wanted to know as a little young woman was that what are the common spiritual truths that run through any religion? I knew that they were common truths, and they're things like do unto others the way you want done unto you. Everything expands with love. Everything we do, Bhagavad Gita, way back 8,000 years, okay, everything you do on the inside, everything you feel on the inside is where your goals are, where your evolution is, where your ascension is. That's where your success is. It's so exciting. And we're seeing that on a mass consciousness level these days. And I love that. I'm very excited. What I'd like to talk about tonight is anything you want to talk about. I want you to call in. But the other thing is that we've been talking a lot about spirits. And as we unravel from these kind of we're almost like seeds in this pool of deception or something or confinement. And so we could say it's like a mass womb for our ability to awaken beyond these confinements, right? So the womb's breaking, and we're getting to express as if we were flowers in the garden and we're about to pop open. And one of the things I'm really, really interested in as an intuitive is the number of beings that have already popped through to the other side, shifted dimensions. Anyway, they've left the third dimensional pool in which you and I are living at this point, and how they come back fairly often in visions and in physical or they're not usually physical, they're physical in the sense of smell, feeling, vibration, color. There are a whole bunch of ways in which these beings that have left the third dimension come into our back into the third dimension to share something with us, and usually it's things like apologies, things that are left behind. But I've noticed lately that a lot of them are able to help us unhook from concepts that have kind of shimmered right down through the lineage, through your family, my family, or our history. For maybe thousands of years, they've built up speed and they've really implanted restrictions and defenses and expectations in each of us, in our DNA and so on. So they might come through, like some of them that I've seen recently, come through to, say, apologize because, and let me see, the most recent one, in one person's case, her grandmother came by. Her grandmother had killed herself, really. And what happened is this young woman, who's a very powerful young woman, has had a total alienation from her family. And the reason she has been is that in, for example, the mother's killing herself when her son was about 26 years old and when my client was 3, for example, that put kind of a lid on people's ability to absolutely express themselves or to be honest about what they're doing. Sometimes people can't be honest about what they're thinking or feeling because the amount of shame that has come down the pike is so intense that it gets doled out onto them from whoever is the mother, father, grandmother, whatever. Anyway, so this woman comes in, she's the grandmother, and she's on the other side, and she's been there for a long time, but in her process on the other side, she's been unraveling and working out all the ways in which her own childhood abuse and what came down her lineage had seeded in her a writhing, shame-based frustration that she never could get out of, and her brain chemistry and all the rest of it was totally messed up. So what has she got? She's left behind a son who is frozen in time in his grief from the loss of his mother, but also he was damaged by her spiraling emotional darknesses and so on. So now here's the granddaughter, who's in her 40s by now, okay? She's trying to make friends with her father, who is very unrevealing and has married a woman who's not only unrevealing but is really vicious about not revealing, okay? So that often happens in alternate generations. But her grandmother is with her on a very regular basis in order to help extricate not just her granddaughter, that too, but the entire lineage from this incredible, rather poisoned DNA information. It's really fascinating to me. So finally, what we were seeing in the last session that I did with this young woman is she's getting through to her father and is beginning to convince her father that she's actually hearing from his mother and that there's actually a process of unravelment and change. And what the guides show is the three generations that are there like a triangle. You know, like the pyramid is the triangle is a very powerful base figure, a tremendous foundational shape for almost any strength in any building, right? But anyway, they're showing the grandmother at the top and the daughter and the father, and how that triangle, when it begins to radiate back and forth between them on a certain kind of understanding and a certain kind of awakening, lo and behold, the whole lineage changes, and it's really been very interesting. So that's one example of how these people come through to share. They share something that's going to unravel the mysteries or the... I've told this story before. I was on my way to see a psychologist years ago because I knew I was going to have to leave my husband. And I was very worried because I knew that as a counselor and as a school teacher and as somebody who has studied psychology, plus as an intuitive, I knew it had a lot to do with me as well as him, right? So I was driving off to see this psychologist who I heard had a fair amount of spiritual understanding and was really open to it. And as I was driving my car, I could see that there was a being in the back seat. And I thought she was a little goofy because she sat right behind me. And if you're driving a car, and it's you in the car, and somebody's sitting right behind you, that's the worst place to try to see them, right? Anyway, there she sat. She had long hair. She was older. And I thought, boy, she sure looks a lot like my mom. Anyway, the long and the short of it is, in a while, she started to talk to me a little bit. And then when I got to see this this fellow who was a psychotherapist, pretty powerful, but he also used to be a priest. So he was an interesting character. I walked in and to see him for the first time, and he said, "Who is that with you?" I said, "Well, actually, it's my great-grandmother." And what we learned at the time was that she was there to tell me that two things. One is that I attracted men that I couldn't trust because I didn't trust men. You see how that works? It's like a resonant chamber there, isn't it? And also that she said that she was a, I think she was a great-great-grandmother. That's right. I don't quite remember. She was my mom's great-grandmother, I think. In any case, she said it was me who installed in the family this very intense resistance to men and this lack of trust of the men. And I can't remember all the rest of the details now. I just remember it made my body vibrate like zzzzzzz, because when there's a truth that comes through from a spirit, everything is vibration. You and I know that, right? But when there's a truth that comes through when you're relating to a spirit, you do know it. Your body, mind feels it. And guess what? There's a release. There's a release from you believing that that's you. And there's a movement into, oh, something can be done about this. So that was quite a while ago, but that was the beginning of my finding connections with being on the other side, beings on the other side that can really make a difference in our lives, and so on. And it goes on and on with all my clients, not all my clients, some of my clients. And what I want to also bring into this is that you and I are fairly infinite characters, aren't we? And then here in the third dimension, we're a species, as I said, it's been rather confined by our collective beliefs that are reiterated or imposed upon us from systems of power, are they not? But to get out of it is by releasing the energies, releasing the beliefs, releasing ourselves one at a time. And as we do, this show is called Radiance by Design, and as we do, our radiance picks up. And our ability to be more and more authentic, true to ourselves, and those inner pulses picks up speed. But guess what? We are a collective experience. And what ideas come to me, the kinds of things that happen to me, happen to many around the world simultaneously. And you've all heard the story of the 100th monkey, which I think is probably a parable. I don't know if it's exactly true. But bottom line is, if you get enough people feeling and experiencing a certain kind of reaction, which is perhaps the transmission of clarity and release and forgiveness from beings from their lineage, you get a whole bunch of people who quicken and they radiate at a higher level. And then that passes on and you get more and more people who radiate at a higher level. Now, what we've been calling it is the shift. And as we go into the shift period, which is supposed to be this month, right? We're finding more and more people waking up, stepping out of a way of, like a cocoon of belief and being that we were kind of contained by for ever so long, and we're waking up, we're vibrating at a higher level. Some of the people that I've interviewed on Paradigm Shifters have told us ways in which they're helping to, like Lee Gertis with Brain State Technologies, Bruce Lipton in Biology of Belief, Bruce Lipton and Steve Berriman in Spontaneous Evolution, and there's so many more, and they're all talking about how our brains are shifting. They're shifting. The vibrational reality of the brains are shifting. The confinement by DNA is shifting. The cellular structure is shifting. We now have global communication, you can say, but that's electronic. And we all know that it's in rapport with the human brain potential, which is the potential for sending information, experiencing information all around the world simultaneously. This is a really amazing time. And I've been very involved in the Oneness Blessings. And there, I love those because for many years, doing the kind of work I do, which is energy work, I used to put my hands on people's heads, and because I never did take cranial sacral. But if I lifted my hands above their heads and arched my palms, I noticed that the brain transmissions, which are supposed to arc over the top of the head, those people who are really, really anxious, and try this on people who have Alzheimer's or dementia of any kind, their brain patterns seem to poke into your hands like needles. But if you curve your palms and hold them just over the head, then those brain transmissions, instead of being pokey, will take an arch, and people's bodies actually feel better. So I knew that. That was a really big deal that I was using in my work. And then I got involved in the Oneness Blessings, which are transmitting divine or high conscious energy frequencies in through the top of people's heads. And if you check, it's called Diksha, and Diksha is just a word that means the transmissions of divine energy, right? But in the Oneness Blessing, Ama Bhagavan, Ama and Bhagavan, who are together, one avatar, have been passing and transmitting these amazing frequencies through many people, and when you're initiated, you get to pass them with more potency to other people's heads, which shifts their brains, and they pass it on, and it shifts their brains, and they pass it on. And people, it's only one style of awakening, but people are awakening very rapidly to the potential of creating and designing their own reality beyond our wildest dreams. Oh, my gosh. And I'm watching it. And the people that wake up, and this is, I'll use the Oneness Blessing as a style, but it's not the only style. Many of you could call in and tell me styles you've used as well. But awakening is shimmering through pretty much every religious, spiritual belief, probably cult, I don't know what. And people are finding themselves separating from, go back to the confinement, separating from those confinements, forgiving each other. There's more love being passed on. There's a lot of healing, physical healing going on amongst people. I know some people with fourth stage ovarian cancer a few years ago, game over. I know people that had total pancreas removals that are doing fine after a few years. I noticed that many people look younger and brighter that used to look kind of haggard and trapped. That isn't because our finances are more secure. You and I know that, right? That's because the frequencies are moving up and our ability to transmit higher frequencies to one another, because we are a rather contagious species, right? Even though so much fear is induced into our culture to keep us in line, there's a lot of breaking up of that fear and shards of light popping through. And now we've heard from many sources, and I'll quote Ama Bhagavan again, that there are these huge downloads of very high light coming in from the universe. And before I knew that some of the gurus were saying that, I could see way out, because I see a lot, like some of you who are intuitive, that I could see and feel some very swashbuckling vibrational changes. And sometimes they threw my body into pain and confusion. And then the more people I interviewed, for example, the more people I met, the more I realized that that's not common, capital K, but it is fairly common that people are being, it's like acupuncture, and it's really rapid, isn't it? That people are really being spun or sparked to move through some much higher level of consciousness, most of which requires, what my guides have said, 95%, it requires clearing, and being intentional while you're clearing so that your focus and your motivations become activated and can manifest through these rapid changes. So that's kind of a long spiel, isn't it? So what I really wanted to talk about today was spirit. So I'm hoping after we do our joint meditation, and I call it joint meditation, community meditation, so we all vibrate in the same cyber community. After that, I want you to call in and tell me or ask my guides and angels, yours too, about what kind of spirits are coming into your world, or maybe we can see spirits in your world and what they're trying to say. My goal here is to say, let's take full advantage of all the sources of limitation that we can so that we can enjoy releasing them and have them release us, and we can all sort of play together in a multidimensional meditation. Wouldn't that be great? One more thing I want to say is I was at a big meditation, and we were calling in the awareness of our lineage, all our ancestors. We got into a meditative state. I would suggest if you're going to do this, take a little time and do it in a very clear meditative state. Call in all of your ancestors from way back and ask them to ask for release, because they, like us, are trapped and confined in certain ways by pulsing out these certain beliefs and that which attaches to our lineage. So I did that with great vehemence a couple of weeks ago at this meditation. I was wonderful, except that I felt so high when we finished this process. Then for the next couple of days, lo and behold, I felt terrible. I felt shame, guilt. Oh, my goodness. I felt my jealousies, my angers, my resistances, all those things we don't want to keep having. But I know they had them in the time of the Bhagavad Gita, and I know a lot of people have them now. So what happened is that we called those up and called those up. And after that, guess what? There was a pop, like popcorn popping, and I felt such incredible freedom from some kinds of unnameable pressures and confinement. And the bottom line is that as you and I call these in and we release that which has been sort of affixed between the two of us, they heal as well as us, because healing is an infinite process, just as life is. So there will be a test on this. Are you ready for that? All right, let's do our meditation together. Big breaths, okay? And now, above your head, about 2 miles, call in a golden, golden sun ball. Below your spine, about 40 feet, another one. And drop a filament of light from the upper golden ball down through your spine into the lower golden ball. And now from the upper golden ball to about waist height, maybe 60 feet out from your body, a four-sided pyramid, and upside down with the point going into our 40-foot ball, another pyramid. And the pyramids meet base to base. And together they create an octahedron, an eight-sided figure. And inside of that, you want a crystal ball, a beautiful crystal ball. The outside edges of your crystal ball touch the inside edges of this octahedron. And inside of that, there you are in a star tetrahedron, a three-dimensional Star of David. And I'm going to get you to spin and spin and spin in that. Do you feel it when you're spinning? Spin, spin, come on. You want to do that because it really flings a lot of those frequencies that are kind of like little strings that are hitching to some kinds of identity you have. And now in front of you while you're spinning, look on the magic screen. In the first phase of the magic screen, remember we're going to put little movies up there. On the first phase, put up a movie about who you want to become. And I always say I want to become consciously multidimensional and coming from the heart. I want to be conscious about it. All kinds of dimensions, all the lifetimes I'm living, have lived. I want to be able to see, feel, experience, clear, and love and play. What do you want? How do you want to be it? And when you get the feeling that whatever it is you want it to be is there, and you can see it and feel it, wrap it in light and move that movie over to the side. And now the second movie is what it is you want to create. Okay, so not who you want to be, but what would you like to create? And for some of you, it's a home and family, it's a house, it's a world trip, it could be a book, a movie, it doesn't matter. What is it you want to create? Television series? See all the resources, the people, the places, the things, the moolah, anything you need to create this amazing dream. Good. And see it all coming together. Good. And as it does, you see yourself building up your dream, and oh my gosh, look, it's successful. And you want to sustain it. So at that point, let's see all of the resources, the people, the money, the place, the time. Your joie de vivre. That's your joy of life, for those of you who don't know that line. And just be so happy that it's working really well. And wrap that in light, move it over to the side. And now we're going to call in the Galactic Healing Center. Now remember, in your wonderful team of magicians, in your wonderful team of beings of different dimensions that really help serve you and all your dreams, there's some great healers in there. So have those members of your team come on in and move around the table. There's a healing table there. And they're very enthusiastic. They want to be there, and they have great ideas for you and me. Because you're the first person that lies on the table. In my case, I'm the first person that lies on the table. Remember, it's all about me, because as you or I heal from way inside, our radiance picks up speed, and we get to heal a lot of people around us, don't we? We change the world. So we see those beings around our table and ask them if there's something you need. Or they'll tell you if there's something you need. Okay, I'm getting some really funny information from mine. It's as if they pulled a cork out of some part of my brain so that it could expand even more. Yeah, there they are. And you can feel it, can't you? You feel some wonderful, wonderful energy going on. Okay. And now wrap that in light and move it over to the side. I know it's not done, but it can keep pumping away if you just move it over to the side and keep that brilliant team of yours working with you. And now the team will replicate themselves around a fresh table, and we bring in somebody you're concerned about. Who are you concerned about? Okay, the concern I have here is a woman, and she's in her middle age. She's a beautiful, creative woman. And she got hepatitis C, and it was because of she's a nurse, and she got stuck by a needle by mistake years ago, and without realizing it, had contracted hepatitis C. But now this day, she's very, very sensitive, and it has an awful time with pharmaceuticals, and yet she's waiting now for a liver transplant and is suffering terribly. So I won't go into all the details of her suffering. She has a lot of body pain, and she's swelling up, and they're draining a lot of the ascites, which is that collection of water. It fills up in the body and makes a person extremely uncomfortable. So we have her on the table, and we're asking the team what to do with her, and they're showing me. Okay, so what they're saying is that you have the capacity to change the vibrational impact of a virus these days. As the frequencies shift, you do have, but you have to use your mind. As the frequencies shift, you have the ability to shift the impact of a virus. That's it. So they're working with her, Now, they have to work with her consciousness because she's a little depressed. I guess why? Because she's sad and tired and she's young. She's only 56. There we go. And they're working with her, and they're working with her mind in a huge way. We would think that they would run right in and work with her liver, but no. They're working with her mind, her brain. A little diksha here. Working with their brain, and they're working with pulling out of the base chakra. There it goes. Out of the base chakra, which is your center of creativity and also, well, I call it creativity. It's your base animal instincts. It's where a lot of your lineage is. Yeah. And she has a very, very strong kind of a program in there, which is very toxic and is keeping her down. So we're pulling it out. They're pulling it out. Yeah, there it goes. And we're also going to work on her belly. The liver, you see, the liver is very, very toxic. It's trying to clear all this viral stuff. So we want to work on the belly to make sure that that stuff can move through very fast. So they're working flushes of amazing colored light, blue, white light, and yellow from the top of her head through the body, right down through the vital organs. Good. Now she's vibrating like mad. So we will circle that with light or surround that with light, move it over to the side, and the team will keep working with her, yet they'll replicate themselves around a fresh table. Now, there's a young man here, and he seems to be, oh, I see why he came in. He has a liver problem as well, but he's been drinking too much. He's been very depressed and angry. And he has a liver problem, so they're showing him. He's come into the healing area. And again, they're working this one. They're going right to his liver first to take some of the load off. But then they're also working with his brain because a lot of his problem is his psychology and the programming that he came with. They're saying that on a cellular level, he had, he had a lot of damage on a cellular level that he's wanting to clear in this life. So they're unraveling something from his brain. Back to the whole evolution of the brain and the brain pattern, it's really amazing, isn't it, that we can come in with our brains etched with some of these reactions. Okay, and they're pulling it out of his body. Yay. Now I see him. Good. Now he's beginning to stew, so they're going to wrap him in light and move him over to the right. And I hope you'll tell us, call in and tell us who you saw in the galactic healing chambers. And now let's do our political one. Let's bring in, how about this? Let's bring in the collective mind. Here's what I want to say is there's a shift going on. There's a lot of destruction going on. There's a lot of dog-eat-dog, and there's a lot of people forward-thinking. So let's bring in the collective mind and just infuse it with some amazing light. How about that? The whole collective mind, the consciousness of our one beingness, our species, is on this amazing table. And let's call in, first of all, our healing team is around this collective mind. Remember I told you about the ancestors? Okay, let's call in the healing team's backup beings that are in level after level after level of consciousness. So we have this humongous, good, intention, this humongous intention to imbue the collective with an amazing transformative possibility, okay? There we are. And I see it in many, many shimmering colors. You know how white is? You can see every color in white, can't you? Especially if it's shimmering like snow. You can see every fleck of color that's possible. So let's just see them imbuing the collective mind with the energy and the drive to keep stepping into the shift, to transform, to let go of our attachments, to let go of our amazing ways of identifying ourselves. Just drop it on the floor. And they're showing the collective mind as this funny brain with all these convolutions. So let's let it be that. Yeah. And just imbue it with wonderful light. That's it. Now we're going to call in some extra lights, some of the, we hear about the golden light and the universal downloads that are coming up. Apparently the divine feminine is supposed to really amp up through a gateway on 12-12-12. And then we know about the grand shift on the 21st. It's supposed to give us freedom from the combative, competitive mind that we've had. So let's call in the golden light and the pink and the honoring light of that kind of amazing, was a combination they're showing me of chartreuse and kind of a salmon pink, but it's very vibrant. And bring those down through the top of your head, have them fill your heart, go out your arms, your hands, and now imbue through the base of the spine of all the beings you can imagine who are in states of power on the planet, and just imbue them with this amazing light of transformation. Good. Wrap that whole thing in light. And then take that beautiful light that you've got radiating from your hands and pat it all around the world where there's trauma, where there's war, where there's starvation, where there's illness, where there's want and poverty. Even where there's fun and laughter, because golly, we could amp up some more of that, couldn't we? And for the animals and the ocean floor and Mother Earth, let's just keep patting this amazing light on all these. And have it move round and round and round the world and back into your hands, up your arms. Fill your heart. Move up through the top of your heads out into the great central sun. And have it drop back down through the top of your head, shoot through your body into the earth. Good. And now close off your galactic healing center. Hop into your star tetrahedron and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin. Boy, I feel a real tremendous buzz. Do you? And come into this room with me now. I'd love to talk to you. I hope that you'd like to call in. Would you like to? It'd be really great to hear how you're doing and what's going on. And how many of you are seeing spirits? How many of you are experiencing any kind of the shift? What's going on in your world? Call 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. I've been doing some wonderful interviews with people from, some doing the Diksha, and some, one woman who is a, she doesn't call herself a channel, she works directly with Source is what she says. But, and there's another woman who's doing Impractical, Polly Campbell, Impractical Spirit. Is it Impractical? No, wait a minute. Impractical Spirituality? No. There's another, there's a word, on Imperfect Spirituality, Polly Campbell. But I find it's really interesting because when we do these interviews, what happens is we get this tremendous hit of light from these people. And they're coming from different walks of life. They're coming from different experiences. They're coming from different modalities. But bottom line is, guess what they're all doing is they're channeling higher frequency energies and they're really creating shifts everywhere they go. Isn't that exciting? So my dream and my intention is that as we come through these times, no matter what, whatever predictions have gone on, let's infuse our predictions with some amazing light, some fields of light. Because as you and I get lighter, oh goody, you're on the air. As you and I get lighter, we have a whole different future than we might have had before. You're on the air and I'm glad. Hi.
Hi, Veronica. It's Jaya.
Hi, Jaya. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I wondered if you see any spirits from the other side in my environment.
I do. I see. Do you know your dad at all?
I see
a man.
He's been gone since 1964.
Oh, did you know him very well? I'll tell you what I see. I see a man, as soon as you asked, there he was, and I think it might be your dad, or certainly is a relative, and he had a very deep dream about life, this fellow. He's saying, I had a really deep dream about life, but I was kind of defeated, but you also have the dream. Do you understand that? And the dream is that it can be, does this sound like your dad? This fellow is showing me, see, I was going to say to you when you first said hello, that you look very kind of, you've got this wonderful pink, rosy kind of vibration in there, which is just lovely. It's a vibration of love, and someone who has, I'll use the same term that this spirit was using, which is a deeper dream. You have a dream for humanity. It's not just for you. Do you understand what I mean by that?
I think it's Jade.
Ah. Well, he had a... and he got stopped in his tracks, didn't he?
He did.
Would you like to tell people who he is? So I'm not telling. I'm not tattling.
Well, he was a very wise... adept here on Earth, but he had a deep dream and he was defeated. So I think that's who you're seeing.
He had a similar vibration to you. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
And his vibration. Do you know what hang on. What he's saying is that he had a. And I've been like this. He's saying that he confined something about his focus so that what he built in was kind of he had a huge vision and he had a kind of a self-confinement to protect himself and that he didn't he didn't really release into his dream. And I know that's right because I want to cry. And what he's saying is, To you and to everyone, you don't need to give in to your fears anymore. You really don't. It's very important. And for you, he admires you tremendously. But you've healed a lot of issues that he didn't heal yet. And he really basically wants to commend you. He loves you. You know that he loves you.
Yeah, I do. We didn't really complete our journey together, so.
But you have to understand what he's saying is that he was too self-protective.
Right, he was.
And I don't know how long ago it was, but he's saying you also were rather timid about things in a certain way.
Uh-huh.
But he really wants, it's almost like he wants to slap his hand on a table and say, I just want you to know that you don't have to confine like I did. I confined myself. Because we were talking about confinement earlier, you know?
Uh-huh.
And he's saying you don't have to confine anymore. He's very he's very urgent about it because you need to feel the freedom that he didn't allow himself.
Uh-huh.
He's almost, what was I going to say? I don't know how to put it. It's almost like he's really insisting, very dynamic about that, that don't let yourself be confined, because I did, and it doesn't make any sense later. You just have to go and figure out another way.
Wow, thank you. That's an important message.
He also... admires you.
Pardon me?
He admires you.
Oh.
Well, it's an important message because one of the things that you've done is to maintain that kind of a love of humanity. You've got a real love in you that you've had a lot of courage to keep maintaining in spite of some terrific odds. And that's something he had trouble with, that courage in himself. Do you understand? Yeah, so it's not just a compliment. It's and he's very aware that he's on the radio. He is, because he's saying, I want people to know that that's something you have to have the courage to have the love of the process so that you can just go ahead and unconfine yourself, and you can do this. Yeah, and it's, what did he cross over with? Because I have a huge tension in my chest as we talk. He must have gotten damaged at the sternum, did he? Interesting, because, my body, I don't feel in pain. I'm just getting that mapping of this incredible, so it's, he's showing a crushing in the heart area and the chest and the sternum area, you know? Well, and this is, because he's going to leave now, but this is really important, and he knows he's on the air. Well, he wants that. He's not kind of... Yeah, because I want to say swiftly to people at home, he's not being a blowhard or a show-off or anything. He really wants a message out there, you know.
No, he was a fairly well-known astrologer and healer. So.
Oh, was he? Oh, all right. Well, he just wants to be clear that that's the message, and it's a strong message because he sees us all as wanting to unravel, and he really admires that you've kept your light brightening in spite of all kinds of things.
Oh, good, great. And does he have any plans to come back?
Not until... He goes, no. he's making me laugh. Actually, he says not until about 19, something like that. This is 12. This is 2012. He's saying around 1920 he'll come back then.
Oh.
But he doesn't want to be involved in this next little while. He's not sure. He says, I don't have that kind of courage. You do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And the courage, this is aside because it's not just him talking here. The courage is for us all to keep plowing through the white water and creating with our minds and our hearts. And that does take courage when all kinds of flotsam and jetsam is wobbling around you, isn't it? Doesn't it?
It does. It does take courage to be here. Yeah.
Yeah, and he said he's sort of picking up steam so that he can, when he comes back, it's going to be a lot more peaceful here.
Uh-huh. It's going to take that long.
Well,
seven more years.
But it isn't only just like 7 years, oh my gosh, it's all the same between now and then. These are like increments of release,
right,
aren't they?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
But he wants to come when it's much more sure. And he started to laugh. He said, that's not because I'm just a straight coward, but I guess I am. He's not really a coward. He just found it really hard not to be confined like that, you know?
Yeah.
And you have a marvelous way of being positive and being very faithful, even when your health has been challenged or your finances or whatever, you know? You're still faithful to the cause.
I am. I mean, you might as well be.
Yeah, but some people aren't built that way, you know, and that you have an innate kind of courage that rolls with things and radiates very well.
Thank you.
So you're doing a good job.
Thank you.
And I'm grateful that you called in. Thank you.
Well, thank you. It's been really helpful.
All right. We'll talk soon. Thanks, Jaya. Wow, that's interesting, because sometimes the personal spirits come through with much more of a lineage message. But that was a person who really wanted to have an impact on all of our thinking as well as with Jaya. So isn't that interesting? You just never know who's going to come through from the other side. And I think I'd mentioned before that Julia's son.
Jaya, 708-2420. Leave me a message, and I will call you back.
Jaya, hang up your phone. Anyway, what I wanted to say was that we had Julia Sant talking about the other side, and we've had Sherry Greenstreet's going to be on soon. I don't know who's coming up. She might be coming up next. And she's a oneness blessing giver, and she's talking a lot about the shifting brain and the shifting consciousness in our society. And this spirit that was talking through for Jaya was talking about he doesn't really want to come back till after like 2019 or so, because it's a little bit swashbuckling between now and then. There's a lot of challenges. And the way some of these interviewees are talking, though, especially the oneness blessing ones, or Angail O'Grady, wonderful woman who works with Source and so on, and they're talking about the changing of our brain and the shifting of our species. It's really exciting. So tune in to Paradigm Shifters at 8 o'clock on Tuesday night, and we'll have on Sherry Greenstreet of the Oneness Blessing, and you'll learn a little bit about the brain patterning changing. And then Rosie O'Grady, I think, will follow next week with her. But I'll tell you what else is going to happen is I'm going to be having some of these as podcasts on my website. And some of you have been really good about checking out my new website, veronicaentwistle.com, no H in Entwistle, veronicaentwistle.com, and doing a like, and check out my blogs, and tell me, because it's brand new, and I've got a wonderful fellow named Mike helping me set it up. I'd love you to sort of give me feedback and say what we would really want to see there, what would you like to hear there. But we're going to have some of the podcasts up of old shows and new shows and whatever. So keep me posted. Let me know. Like my website, or don't like it, but don't tell anybody. And tune in to Paradigm Shifters at 8 o'clock on Tuesday night. And thank you so much for listening. Stay in touch and email me, Veronica at veronicaentwistle.com. Good night, many blessings, and much love.